And I am among you as he that serveth. And the one who spoke that, Jesus Christ, is the most eager to lead his children to the assurance of faith in what he has done for them. What good husband would want his wife to be in doubt about his love for her? No good husband would want that, and he would do everything to persuade his wife of his unconditional, unwavering love. And if that's true of earthly husbands, how much more true of the heavenly husband, Jesus Christ? Satan will do everything to keep you in doubt. And he will seek to rob all the comfort out of your heart every time. But not, that is not Jesus. And friends, therefore there are literally hundreds of promises in the Bible that declare the mind of God. Clearly, hundreds of them. There is not one mark that describes a true believer. There are multiple marks that will describe whether you're one of those that believe in Jesus Christ. But to assure God's children of the fullness of the gospel comfort, it is particularly for that that this table was instituted. This is a very special means of grace that the Holy Spirit uses in the use of it to communicate with assurance to the heart that what you trust in is efficacious, is powerful to accomplish what you look for in Jesus Christ. We'll read that later on in the form, you know, that in this night, that you may believe that you belong to this faithful covenant in the very night of Jesus' death, he instituted the Lord's table. In the closing prayer of that form, we remind it again. When we thank God the Father that he ordered his Son to institute the Lord's Supper for the confirmation of the saints. That's what it is for, this table. And through the visible signs and seals, Jesus on his behalf of his Father seeks this morning to assure every poor and needy soul who is looking outside of themselves unto that serving, ministering Jesus Christ, and seek for salvation in him. Now, one of the earliest gospel promises this morning I would like to take you to briefly is in Exodus 12, verse 13. Let's open up that scripture together. And what a comforting and reassuring word. And as you all know, this is the predecessor to the Lord's table, Passover meal. Verse 13, "And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." And if you read it again in verse 23, "For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door, and he will not suffer the destroyer to come into your houses to smite you." May I just briefly, beloved, draw your attention to these few words. When I see the blood, I will pass over. and I will not smite you. Children, it was a really, really tense night, especially if you were the oldest boy, like you there, Malachi. And who else is the oldest boy in your family? That was a tense night. The angel was going to come through the streets of every town. Not a house he skipped. It was the hour of execution. After all kinds of months of pleading and offering mercy and providing a way of escape for the Egyptian nation, it had come to the end of that period of ministry. They had rejected Moses' word. They had rejected the direction. And then there comes a day of reckoning. And beloved, that will be true for you. That will be true for me. Jesus reminds us in Luke 10, verse 16, "He that heareth you, heareth me." When you hear my preaching, you hear Jesus, if I preach the word of God. "And he that despises you, despises me. And he that despises me, despises him that sent me." Rejecting God's message of grace is a foolish and an utterly wicked thing. Month after month, the gospel is offered. The blood is set before you as an open fountain against sin and uncleanness. Month after month, the preacher pleads with you to come to that fountain open. And yeah, then there will come a day too in your life and in my life that I will have to finally be judged. A congregation, that judgment will come on all of us. That day that God will come. But before the evening came, God provided a means of escape. Yeah, and that is what we read about the Passover lamb. The little lamb in each house, children. They had to have it in their house for 4 days, 5 days or so to make sure it was not sick. No sickness in it. There came a little pet lamb, don't you think? And they liked that little lamb. They cuddled the little lamb. And then there came the day that Father had to take the lamb in the living room. And he had to slaughter it. It must have been a little painful for the children. But it was also a message for the children, especially for the older one. The little lamb is a picture here of Jesus Christ. That's the lamb that God has given to every family in Carbotton's church. John Calvin so well said in one of his sermons, "When you hear the gospel, it's like God the Father laying the lamb on your lap." I have done that. I have laid the lamb on your lap. Not a single house and not a single person in this place has not been given the lamb of God. That's what preaching is, friends. God offering the lamb. And just picture now vividly for a moment that little lamb laying in your lap. You do something with him. You can shove it off your lap and ignore it and live on. I don't recommend that. Because if then that angel stops by your door, that'd be the end. Now we need to do something with the lamb. Having a lamb in the house will not save you. having 10 of those lamps in your house would not save you. Let's keep that in mind. Having a lamb in the house, even that lamb, will not save you. No, we read in verse 7 and 8, it was necessary that they had to do something of the lamb besides slaughtering it. They had to apply the blood to the doorpost, side post, upper post. They had to take the blood and apply it. That's nothing else but the picture of faith. That is the picture of believing, trusting. That is the obedience of faith, friends, that God instructed Moses that they had to do. They had to obey Moses' instructions with God's provision. And then comes the promise. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood applied to the doorpost, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be on your house. And you will not suffer the destroyed to come into your houses to slay you. Now that word, of course, when I see the blood, I will pass over, is the predecessor of many New Testament gospel promises. Here's one. Whosoever believeth, I will pass him over. I will not let him perish. He will have everlasting life. Whosoever believeth. Whosoever shall call upon me. We just heard that sermon on Pentecost. Whosoever shall call upon me shall be saved. That's calling upon him. It's like taking that blood. That's the only pleading ground. And to come before God, that lamb in your hand, calling upon him, they shall be saved. I will pass over when I see the blood. I will pass over you. Jesus says, whoso eats my flesh and drinks my blood, that's a spiritually speaking, he who takes my word and eats it, he who hears my word and believes it, that's the eating and the drinking. He has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. I will not pass. I will pass him by. I will not slay. I will raise him up. And so when finally midnight came, we read, there's not a house that is exempt in Egypt. As all Egyptians firstborn from the throne unto the cattle died. But within the houses of the Israelites, none died. If they stayed inside the house behind the blood. Now, congregation, let's go back to verse 13 one more time. On what basis would the angel pass over? Would he come to the door and he would look behind the door and he would see, now what kind of a person is behind this door? This is a nice person. This is a clean person. This is an upright person. Did he look at who are they and how did they do? And on that basis would he pass by? No. The angel did not look at any of the persons inside the house. He only would check if there was blood on the doorpost. That was the only reason he would pass by. It mattered not if it were just a few drops of blood. It mattered not if the whole post was brightly painted red. It mattered not as long as there was the Passover lamb's blood. No other lamb, but the Passover lamb. It matters not to him whether the hand that put the blood was shaking, trembling, maybe weak, that needed to be supported by another hand to get it all on there. It mattered not what hand it was. When I see blood, I will pass over. And so it is today. It matters not whether the faith you have is strong and is vigorous and assured and steadfast. Oh, what is there an ups and downs in the life of faith in everyone? Now what Jesus looks at and what the Father looks for, the blood. When I see blood, I will pass over you. That's the Lord's promise this morning to all who have applied Jesus by faith. Let there be no doubt, my friend, that Jesus is the Passover lamb. He offered his life for sinners. He poured out his blood willingly, abundantly. He has given himself to purge away our sin. He was wounded for our iniquities. He was bruised for our sins. He has given his life as the ransom for many. The only name, it's the only blood. It's the only way by which God can pass over. And let there be no doubt this morning that if there is upright faith, kindled by the Holy Spirit mysteriously in your heart, and if that faith in your heart is looking and hungering and embracing and seeking nothing besides Jesus' blood and righteousness, and if you are tonight's morning here confessing, Lord, on thy blood alone I rest. And the promise for you is, I will pass over. That's his promise. When he sees the blood of this precious lamb. As you sit here, Jesus looks at to see what you have done or what you are doing with the lamb you have been given. You didn't have to buy this lamb. You didn't have to go to your own heart to get this lamb. It came out of the heart of God and he descended it to lay it in your very being, in your very home. And only thing he looks at this morning, what have you done and what are you doing with the lamb? He doesn't look at the strength of your faith, but he looks at what is the object of your faith. What is it that you are trusting on? Where have you placed your confidence? Are you this morning as poor and needy and as a bankrupt sinner, having nothing to offer, and you have placed your hope alone on the crucified one who lived and died to be the mediator between God and you? And if that's the case, then I see your blood on which you hope, I will pass over you. And I will pass over all what is of you. If your heart this morning, friend, is pictured in David's, Lord, I will make mention of thy righteousness only. Only. Nothing else in my hand I bring. Simply. Only. To the cross of Jesus I cling. And hear the word of the Lord. Then, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Undoubtedly that night, as today, many trembled with fear behind the blood. Even though the blood was on the door. Even though the blood was on the post, I mean. Undoubtedly, there were such behind that door that still shook and trembled with fear, I could imagine. There might have been others who were strong in faith and did not fear the midnight hour. So there are differences. Also in the life of faith. But that didn't matter to the angel. It mattered to him that there was blood on the door. So as this morning you sit in church, take a look at your hands for a moment and picture what it is that you hold up before God when you seek Him and when you desire communion with Him and when you desire to live for Him. What is in your hand? If it is anything like Paul used to live, what you have experienced of what you have done or what you are or who you are, and then he will not pass over. But if this morning you can say nothing else, Lord, to be found in Christ, not having my own righteousness, but thine only. And come and hear what he in the scriptures says so often, whosoever believeth shall not perish. That's his promise. There's a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged into that flood lose all their guilty stains. And this dying lamb, this precious blood shall never lose its power till all ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Amen.